Sean Duke is here, our cool scientist, but all sort of cool science at the moment. Not for this guy, the white coat and the Bunsen burner. This guy is getting into modern science, the stuff we like. Hello to you, Sean.
I have a blue jacket, no white coat.
Is that it?
Good morning.
How's it going?
Not too bad, thanks.
Good stuff. And there's some very interesting ones here. And I mentioned them earlier on about maybe our children, our grandchildren, won't need reading glasses because... You know, it'll all change.
That's right, yeah. Well, this is one that obviously anybody who wears glasses and is of a certain age, will think, what can I do about my eyesight? Because it's very annoying as you get a little bit older, and then you find when you're trying to read the newspaper, you have to put it further and further and further away so that your arms don't feel like they're long enough, and it just goes and goes and goes like that. Is there anything we can do about it? And it's also when you're working in a job, and a lot of us do, where you're looking at a computer all the time, you know, that's very hard to focus, where you have to look at figures. So, you know, it's a real pain in the neck for a lot of people. So if there's any new technology out there, then we have to be interested. And there is a new technology. What we have so far up to now is laser surgery. Laser surgery can be quite good. It's expensive. It's available in Ireland. But essentially, it cuts a piece of your cornea. And the cornea is this, this little part of your eye that curves. And this is what enables you to focus. And so essentially, when they're doing laser surgery, they're reshaping your cornea by cutting a bit and trying to get the curve.
I get very queasy when I talk about that.
Yeah, so that's not great, and it's irreversible, which a lot of people don't like. So and also after a few years, the cornea may start to flatten out again, which means that the problem can come back.
So it's like a facelift technology, is it?
It's what they call invasive. It's cutting. Laser is there to cut something out. So, you know, it'd be ideal if we could find a solution that doesn't involve cutting something out that isn't irreversible, because you can't put it back in once it's cut out.
Okay, yeah.
So that's what this story is about here. They're talking about this new, for aging eyes. So it's people, you know, between 40 and 50, you start to see this problem typically, which is just aging of eyes. Your perception of depth, reading in poor light, your ability to focus in the distance and then to focus up close, do that quickly is pretty poor. Okay, so this technology, it's called a raindrop corneal inlay, and it came from the States, in America, in California. It's available in the UK. I can't find anywhere in Ireland that's offering it, but it seems to be amazing. They're quoting the first person, who is a 57-year-old, she works in a school, she's the bursar in England, and she said, it was driving me mad, I have to hold books further and further away, and she then got this procedure done, and now it's completely changed her life. She doesn't need reading glasses anymore. So what does it do? Well, it only takes 10 minutes apparently. It's a drop of material that actually is it's like a little droplet. And the material is hydrogel, which is similar to what's in contact lenses, you know, that kind of flexible material.
Yeah.
And essentially what it does is it's helps the cornea to be bent in the correct manner, the correct shape. So it improves your corneal function, so it improves your eyesight without the need for any of this cutting. And also it seems to last longer than the other thing. You know, for reading, it's not going to stop your eyes aging. You know, we can't do that, but it can combat this problem where you have to use glasses for reading.
So, Definitely,
it's worth checking out. That's one story there, but it's expensive in England. It's not on the NHS in England. Not that anybody here would be, but it's £2,495. So that's a lot.
But it's on the way, that's it.
But it's on the way.
Okay, there's various things. British scientists have created the first complete working organ from cells. There's how digital technology and TV can inhibit children socially. And of course, there's the goings on about the Iceland volcano. Would you like to have a look at the Iceland volcano first of all?
The Iceland volcano, there are seismologists quoted in this BBC article on it. There are people in Ireland in UCD studying this as well. There's a seismology department in UCD. And what they're concerned about really here is that There seems to be, in the last couple of days, what seems to be happening is that there's movement of magma under the ground, and it seems to be pooling, if you like. So there were separate pools of magma, magma being molten rock, that are lying underground. Now, there's one pool that they've monitored, and they can do this, which is moving towards the other pool. And the concern is that it's moving at about 4 kilometres a day, this molten rock. So it's going pretty fast towards the other one. And if these both come together, you're going to have a huge amount, 50 million cubic metres of molten rock. Now, just to try and explain that, what it means is if the one pool meets the other pool, it could trigger an eruption, okay? But also the amount of molten rock would be twice what was erupted in 2010. So potentially we could have a far larger eruption on our hands. It's all up in the air, though, because, I mean, it's
hopefully not
incredibly complex, but that's what they're worried about. If this is going to happen, it will probably happen in the next couple of days, they reckon. But again, you know, there's no definites. They can't say an earthquake is going to, or sorry, a volcano is going to erupt at Saturday at 2 p.m. It's not like that, but there's a risk.
Okay, it's Sean Duke, the cool scientist, on the morning show at East Coast. And Margaret says, I had laser done and I've had no problem. So that's good for her. Well done.
Yeah, a lot of Margaret. People are quite happy with it.
Yeah. Okay, how digital technology and TV can inhibit children socially.
Yeah. I've got kids now that went to school today, actually, two of them. So, they
all sad.
Yeah, I was more sad than they were. I did, and loads of them. I'll bore you later. But yes, this is definitely a worry for parents, because on the one hand, okay, we live in the modern world. There are these gadgets, devices, internet, it's everywhere. But if you're using this too much, I know from my situation, kids definitely get addicted to the iPhone very, very quickly. Even young kids, they get completely addicted, because if you take it off them, then they get angry, etc. So that's not good. But what this study we're talking about here today, what they looked at was older children than mine, 11, 12 year olds. And they wanted to see what would be the difference if we took two groups of 11 to 12 year olds, and you deprived one of the groups for 5 days at a nature and science camp of all of these devices, and the others you allowed them to have it. Now, what they found was that the group that were deprived of all their devices were better able to recognise other people's emotions in photographs and videos. Is a person sad? Is a person happy? Etc, etc. So if you're embedded, if you like, in this technology, in this social media, they call it, you're actually less able to pick up the social clues. Like, you're looking at me, I'm looking at you, I can see you're about to smile there now or whatever. So, you know, the only way to actually learn that, to be able to read people's emotions, is to be sitting in front of them. This is called social intelligence, which is really important in life. They can't learn that. In fact, it harms them if they're using these smartphones and gadgets too much. So social media is what it's called, but actually it's not social media. Maybe in a way it should be called anti-social media. You need to know this technology, you need to know how it works, but decreased sensitivity to emotional clues, losing the ability to understand the emotions of others, these are the downsides of too much use of these gadgets. So, you know, within reason, don't let them get addicted.
Okay, and there's a danger that even very young,
I'm just, in my experience with the 4-year-olds, they're talking about 12-year-olds here. I let them just look at a video on my iPhone here, and then suddenly they want it all the time, to the extent that they start nicking it out of your pocket and everything. So just had to stop it.
Right. And this is Sean Joke. He's looking at things from a science point of view, though I'm sure sociologists and parenting people and all that will have their view on that. Of course, if you've any questions for Sean, to put him on the spot, he's always welcome to questions. Isn't that right?
I am indeed. Yeah.
Just
throw them in.
Send them in there, you know, physics and Einstein-y type of things. You know, he's all here. It's 087-77-11-103. One other story that's in the news at the moment. This is about scientists in the UK have created the first complete working organ from cells. And I heard a bit about this, and one aspect of it is that they're actually growing organs as well inside animals and things. Oh, it's just
Yeah.
It's all very strange, but tell us about it.
Yeah, I had to read this a couple of times just to understand what's going on. But essentially, what they've done here, we've heard of the stem cell story. So the stem cells are cells that can be used to create any other cell. And they have created organs in the lab, very small organs, liver, various other things, from stem cells. This here, what we're talking about now, is not stem cells. It looks like it's something that actually might bypass the need to have stem cells. They've gone into, this has been done in mice now at the start, so that's always what happens before it gets into humans. But essentially, it's gone into the DNA, which is the code that's there in every cell that tells a cell, is it an ear cell, an eye cell, whatever type of cell. They've gone into the code of the particular cells. It might be a skin cell or some cell, and they've told the skin cell, listen, we don't want you to be a skin cell anymore, we want you to be a thymus cell. So they've taken the actual information that's in the cell and they've reprogrammed it to become another cell. So the idea is, this is very interesting because it's called direct reprogramming, so it's a fairly new thing. You take cells that you or me, we may not need. Skin cells, for example, we've got lots of them. We could take some skin cells, we could, I've got a thymus, which is important for our immune system. I need a thymus. I'm looking into the future. Take the stem cells, use the engineering, the DNA in there to tell these skin cells to become thymus cells. They grow together into a thymus in the lab, and then you implant it back into me, and I get a thymus, and my immune system is working.
So this would be basic clinics on the main street of the town, you know, say, come in to us and you know, trade in your old kidney for new sort of stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, is that what we're talking about for 100 years' time?
We're talking about organ replacement, yeah, and we're talking about using our own cells. So it's not donation. Up to now, the problem is we have to get an organ donated. We have to wait. People die while they're waiting. With this technology, you go in, it's your liver, it's whatever part of your, this is how it could develop. They take some of your own cells, skin or whatever, that you don't need. They reprogram those into the type of cell that you do need. They grow the organ in the lab and they then implant it back into your body. So it's pretty amazing. You know, quite incredibly, science moves so fast. We hear so much about the stem cell stories. Here's this direct programming. We don't need the stem cell thing, because what the stem cells, what you did with those was you took a cell, you reprogrammed it. There were a couple of steps on the way, and then eventually you got what you wanted. This is a much more direct thing. We're just saying, skin cell, you're not a skin cell anymore. We want you to be an eye cell now and grow into an eye, please. And that's essentially what they've done in mice. They've created a working thymus. And the thymus is like the nerve center for the immune system. So the thymus fires out these cells, these T cells, which are these cells that fight infection. So without a thymus, you're in serious trouble if it's not working, because you don't have enough T cells. So anything that comes along, it's just going to have a field day in your body, and it's going to be allowed just do whatever it wants. So,
right, okay.
So yeah, it's it. But again, this is just new technology. Is going to take a while. They've been talking about stuff like this for years, but it's not actually out there in use yet.
But watch this space. Thanks very much indeed, Sean.
Okay.
SeanDuke.com. If you want to get in contact with Sean, it's usually...
Yeah, you can. I've an email. Yeah, I'd be delighted to hear from anyone. SeanCDuke@gmail.com. And the blog is Science Spinning. So, yeah, be delighted to hear from anyone.
Okay, the cool scientist. He's the man who talks in our language.